Matthew 3, 10, Malachi, sorry, 3:10. We know this scripture. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to this test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vines before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's army. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's army. And the thing about it is that people know that he was talking about crops and things of that nature, the spices. I said, but we don't bring spices. We bring our wealth. We bring what we make. We bring the first fruits. And a seed is just a seed. A money is just a type of seed as well. But this is the only place in the Bible where the Lord says, put them to the test. See, God wants to do extraordinary things through you and in you, but he wants you to put them to the test. Just a simple test. He says he will bless it. He will make it abundant. All your crops will be abundant. All your fruits of your labor will be abundant if you just put them to that test. I don't know about you, but I said, this year, I said, my wife and I, we have been sowing, and we've increased our sowing the last several weeks. We've upped it. Why? Who needs Hulu? Who needs Netflix or what have you? Who needs the ESPN? I can give more into the kingdom. Why? Because I trust him. We've trusted him in the little, and he can trust us in much. And we're going to continue to give, and guess what? It may even increase later on this year as the Lord continues to provide. So if you're at that place to where you don't trust him, get there. If there's any person in the world that's faithful to watch over his word, is him. He exalts his word even above his name. Amen. So let's say this declaration together. One, two, three. Heavenly Father, today we come to honor you with our wealth. You have given us the power to get wealth so that you can establish your covenant with your people. Your word says, give, and it shall be given unto us. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with no room to spare. Our hearts are delighted in you and the gift that we shall receive. We honor and thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you can come forward. Father God, we just thank you for everyone here that is giving. We believe that you will sow it back to them 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. How many was here Wednesday? Saw the movie. That was good. Chris said it was not a bad turnout. I think it was about 20 or something like that, but that's a lot better than we thought there would be. I thought everybody was going to show up, you know. Jeez. No, but it was a good movie. I was in Tulsa. I had just we had our Vanguard event, and I had signed up like the week before. And I was like, wait a minute, that's during the 19th. I won't be here for the movie. So, but it was good. It was good. Friday, I woke up one morning, got out of bed, and nearly fell over. Got dizzy, disoriented. I was like, what is going on? So I'm just laying there. Kristen's like, what is wrong with you? Why are you just laying there? And I was kneeled at my bed. I was just disoriented. So anytime I would lay on my right side, I'm good. Then I roll over to my left. I'm like, what is going on? Loopy, I'm not taking any drugs, no medication, none of that. Didn't understand it. So that happened all the way up until Wednesday. I got there Tuesday. And they had ordinations and stuff like that. Went to my hotel room, kind of hung out there. And then Wednesday, got up, same thing. What is going on? Try to take a shower, stuff, still dizzy. Well, I get to the afternoon one. I didn't make the morning meetings and stuff like that. I got to the afternoon and then the evening, but just got an agreement with someone that was there. Well, throughout that night, we fellowshipped at a house. They had a house party. That was so cool. It was nice. Everybody's just there fellowshipping and just having a good time meeting people that you never, you know, met before and speaking to people. Yes, I was talking, if some of y'all were wondering. I did say a few words there. And then the next morning, got up, nothing. Healed, total. I'm not taking that medication mess. The medication is, God's word is the medication. God's word is medicine. It hasn't changed. His word works throughout the same way. I mean, you know, if somebody had a headache and you go around telling everybody you have a headache, sooner or later you're going to find somebody who says, have you taken anything yet for it? Seriously. Faith doesn't deny that the problem exists, but you don't just constantly go around telling everybody, man, I got a headache. Well, do something about it. Otherwise, you're just looking for attention, right? So, yeah, I just told one person. I said, hey, let's pray. Let's get an agreement. I said, all right, let's get an agreement. Done. Over with. I don't have to go through that anymore. And I'm not going to go through that anymore. Why? Because his word says I'm already healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed. We have been delivered. Today, I'm talking about you need the church. You are the church. You are the body of believers. The church is not the building, it's you. You're the people. But no one person makes up the church. We all make it up collectively. The unbeliever needs the church because we have the answer they need for eternal life, for living an eternal life. Whether they want to admit it or not, Jesus is the answer to their problems. Jesus is the answer to our problems. The believer needs the church because it's where we come to grow spiritually and to worship God corporately. He's still the answer for everyone who is seeking an answer. In Acts 4:12, it says this, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. This is something that Jesus had taught his disciples, and just like their teacher, they taught this to the church. There is no other name under heaven. Salvation that Jesus gave us includes forgiveness of sins, a new birth, freedom from the bondage of sin, being made righteous by God, and spending eternity in the presence of the Father. The church, made up of believers, not unbelievers, believers. You can't be an unbelieving believer, but there are some who are unbelieving. I'm a believer because I believe what Jesus has done for me. We typically say church and refer to it as a building, but we all know it's the body of Christ. So despite of what you hear on the news, the church is still one of the gathering places you come to get built up and encourage one another, where you can find the support you may need to help get you through the difficult times. It's the church. The enemy will always try to break up what God has got going on here. Always. To seduce those and to keep them from living out what Jesus had intended his believers to do. But we know that the church will always, always prevail over the enemy. The key is we have to do it together. You can't do it alone. We have to do it together. So whether or not you like coming here, listen, if anybody has ever been hurt through their church or whatever, the place they come, number one, thank you for coming, because I know that took a lot of courage and a lot of trust for you to get back to that place to where you can do that. But the enemy wants you isolated so that you won't ever have that ability to get back to what God has called you to. No one can go at this alone, but it's real easy for the enemy to try and conquer just one. But just a little side note, you're never alone when you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. You're never alone. And plus, you still have your angel. You need the church like you need food to live. Just like you eat every day, you need the church. Just like you need food. You don't neglect eating unless you choose to fast. You're going to feed yourself every day. You need to feed yourself to being with the body of Christ as often as you can, because it's going to help you. It's going to help you grow. And I get there's a lot of great pastors out there on social media. There's some good ones there. There's plenty of great quotes that we can put on our social media pages, but it doesn't compare to what Jesus has created within the church. Well, Pastor Tim, you know that old saying, just because you go to church, don't make you a what? A Christian. Just because that's, well, neither is you sitting at home. Sitting at home don't make you a Christian. But what true believer that has a heart for God and has a heart for his people will actually stay at home week after week and not ever come and gather together with his people? That's something that has been built on the inside of you. And you can never do too much church in your life, especially if you go once a week. I've done more church than anybody in here. As a Pentecostal church, we go to church almost every night. Revivals, 2-3 weeks, every night till 12 o'clock. We have pastor's anniversary. That would go all week. We celebrate, different pastors will come in and preach each night, yeah, all week. Done a whole lot. Missed a lot of sporting events up until my senior year, junior senior year. I've gone to a lot of churches, a lot of church services. And as you can see, it did me a lot of good. It always amazes me when I hear, I went to church all the time when I was younger, but I just got burnt out. Here's the thing, I get it sometimes, religion can burn you out. But if you're living your life day to day rather than week to week. See, they broke bread in their homes daily. But if you're just living for the week to week, you're going to get burnt out a whole lot quicker. And especially, think about it, month to month now. You just come in once a month. Now, think about it. You just come in, and some people are just Christers, Christmas and Easter. You can see how easy it is for them to get burnt out. They're just a holiday Christian. The holiday believer, right? The daily walk with Jesus to drown out the religious routine that you may have experienced week to week. In Acts 2:42, it says this, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper and the prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. These things that believers had done was voluntary. They sold their possessions in order to give. This is how much they wanted to help out, to be a part of the body of Christ. No one forced them to come together. Their hunger to know Jesus more and more grew daily. You couldn't keep them away from the gathering together. Once a week would not have been enough for what they were wanting. And this is right after the Holy Spirit was poured out. See, the Holy Spirit brings unity in the body of Christ rather than division. The word says each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Miraculous signs and wonders were being done daily. It wasn't just Sunday morning. We've limited it to Sunday morning. That's a daily thing. When Jesus calls us out and sends us out, listen, no, I understand people, we have the authority and of Christ, but I said, but see, God, that authority comes down from God, Jesus, and to Jesus, and Jesus has sent us out to live that out. I don't have that power or authority over any believer to tell them, you shouldn't be sharing the gospel. You shouldn't be operating in the anointing. You shouldn't be praying for people for them to get healed. That's not my call. Jesus already sent you out. That commission came from him. And a lot of times, so can you imagine the 12 with Jesus? He sends them out, and then he sends out the 70, and then one person out of the 70 want to be over, exalt themselves over the 69 and be like, you guys can't do anything but what I tell you. And sometimes that's what we end up getting. People don't want you operating in that. Pharisees, religious leaders did not want Jesus operating in that. They were always trying to shut that down. The authority comes from God to Jesus, to the people. And you lived, and you lived that out. I don't have that right to tell you that. We're called to submit ourselves one to another. I'm not your boss. I don't have that authority or power to tell you not to. Now, when it comes in here, we do things in order. But out there, daily, these things were being done. I get it with all the families, the jobs, places to travel, and so on. But if we get to the place to where we can't be here at church weekly, then we have just become too busy to spend together. Nowadays, believers may get together online, and that's, I've also done that. I've done some coaching online with other people and stuff like, been a part of that, and it was really, really good. I really liked that. I really enjoyed it. Everybody was sharing some of the stuff that they were going through and how they were growing and what have you. I said, and the Spirit of God was there, because there's no distance in the Spirit when you're doing that. But to be honest with you, it's still not the same as actually being there. You ever gone to a sporting event? My wife and I mean, it was on my birthday, right? We went to the Bills game around that time when we saw the Bills whoop up on the Chiefs. And we were in the end zone. And this is like a little right after I got through down with COVID. I think it was in 22 when we went. But the thing is that we had to stand up the whole time. And I was just like tired. But the cool thing is, it's like the three people that were next to me were Bills fans. So I was like, yes, let's go. But it was a great atmosphere. Now, don't get me wrong. I love watching football and all the other sports on my TV because the bathroom is just right there. I don't have to walk up the stairs. I don't have to spend $15 for a Coke or a Pepsi. But the atmosphere is there. It's different. It's different. How was the World Series? It was awesome. And everybody was hot. But it's a great atmosphere. It's something totally different than just being online, and you can have the great, you know, the theater surround sound, all that stuff. I said, but when you're there, it is so different. It is different being in the presence of that. And we become corporately, it's so much different than what people would get online. If y'all online and you can come, come, because we're going to stop posting it. Make you come. It's easy to stay at home and just watch. And, oh, I'm just chill in my pajamas and just chill. That's cool and all for those who are shut in. I get that part. But if you can come, come, come. Be a part of something good that God is going on. The worship is different. The strong handshakes that you may get from other men and looking them right in the eye, different. You can't get that online. The smiles on everyone's faces when they come in and as they leave, because we're leaving before 12. The sincerity of the hearts when they give collectively to honor God with their wealth. The preaching of the uncompromised word, the worship, all of it. It's different when you're here than it is online. Nothing can top the church, the body of believers coming together corporately and worshiping our Lord and Savior. In Psalms 84:4, the Passion Translation says this, "What pleasure fills those who live every day in your temple, enjoying you as they worship in your presence." Now, we understand that's the old covenant in the temple was a place. The new covenant, the temple is us. Being the church and gathering together doesn't have to be this annoying chore that no one wants to do. Who wants to do the dishes? Oh, I don't want to. I don't like, I can do laundry, but the thing that I like doing is folding the towels. I can fold towels all day long. Pretty easy. Pretty good. And I like my t-shirts flipping folded, so that takes a while. Y'all know the flip and fold? Just like in, you see in the department stores, that's just layered. Doesn't mean they always get done that way. I don't do it. A good God that gives us his best. Kristen does that. She does a good job. We require the best from God that we may give him, but we may give him a lackluster effort at times, and yet he still loves us because it isn't what we can do for him, it's what he has done for us and who he truly is. Y'all got to understand that the church together is unstoppable. When we come collectively together, we become unstoppable. We can spend all this time talking about the government and people, well, who are you going to vote for? I know who I'm voting for. I know who I'm voting for. I'm not going to vote for somebody who's constantly going to try to push the fact that we need them more so they need us. I don't put my dependency upon the government. Amen. And anyone is leading you to do that? I'm good. My dependency is on God, not the government. Do your job. Govern. That's what you're called to do. Govern. We are dependent upon God, not the government. Not any politician. They are not the answer to what God has given to this world. The church is the most powerful institution in the world, and there will never be anything like us. Jesus entrusted. In Matthew 6:16-18 says this, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Jesus wasn't saying, "Peter, I'm going to build my church on you, Petros," which means small rock, "but on Petrus," which means the large rock. It was upon the confession of what Peter had just said about Jesus, that he is the Son of the living God, because the God had revealed it to him. The church is called out by God to be separate from the world and to be holy unto God. We're called to be different. Too often we're trying to be too much like the world, and then we become so dependent upon government to help us out because we've lost our identity. You're the church. Jesus entrusts the poor to the government or to the church? Church. Government has to go off of what they take from you. That's why our giving is voluntary. If I give, I'm going to give generously. You should check my giving record. Those who are in prison, he entrusted the church. I didn't know this, but there are some wealthy, wealthy men that make a lot of money off of prisons. Good grief. They're not rehabilitated. They become the scum of society. And yet, he entrusts the church so the word can get into them, so that they can actually, their minds can be renewed, so that they can be a productive citizen out there in the world. God doesn't just throw everyone. God doesn't throw people away like that. He gives them that second chance. That's part of the church. I'm thankful for people who do go into those prisons and then Bible studies with them. Revival might be breaking out. He never looks at the government and says, "Take care of my sheep." If you want to see who you truly are, look into the Word rather than the world. The church together is an unstoppable force that the gates of hell can't touch. If we can stop being stingy and quit trying to exalt ourselves above what God has ordained, we can actually do something in the body of Christ. See, at Westbury Church, we don't have a selfish agenda. It ain't about propping me up or my family up or anybody else up for that matter. It's about Jesus. That's who we're going to exalt. And if I get to the place where I exalt myself over somebody else, I just say, humble yourself. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. I love how the Passion Translation reads this. It says, I give you the name Peter, a stone, and this rock will be the bedrock foundation on which I build my church, my legislative assembly, and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. One person does not make up the church, and the church is made up of many parts. And we all have different gifts and talents that we can share as we come together weekly. And some people have great skills at organization, administration. Others are great at cleaning and building things. Others are great at cooking. Others are great at, just painting. Whatever the case may be, they have a lot of gifts that are for the church. And it's not just in here, it's out there. Some are great at coming when it comes to new ideas and outreach. But if you're not able to flow in those things that will help build the church, it will become dormant in your life. I don't understand why I just don't, it doesn't seem like I have a purpose. I said, well, are you serving in the capacity of what you're called to do? What is it that you're good at? Can we use that? It's people who are great at, man, my goodness, has anybody seen that TikTok video I put on? It took me 2 hours to do that mess. I was like, I'm done. I was frustrated. What is going on? There's people who are great at doing that stuff, that can push it out there. They're great with media, social media stuff. They're great at that. They're great at computers. Your gift is for God and it's for helping to build each other up. So every gift is being used to help build the church and for us to grow closer to God corporately. In Romans 12, it says this, just as our bodies have many parts and each part have a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and what? We all belong to each other. The body of Christ is not complete if you don't show up and do your part. Each believer may have a gift or different gifts that they can use to help the body. The gift you have isn't just for you. And since you are part of the body, you belong to the body. It says we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. Well, Pastor Tim, I did my time serving. I served many, many years. I did my time. I said, I get that. I understand that. I understand that. I said, because the young people need to step up and help out too. Well, I'm just too busy. I said, exactly, too busy. And if serving ain't a part of your busyness, then let me help you fix some stuff out of your life. Get it organized. Because if you're not serving in the church, you're not serving at full capacity of what you can actually do. It don't matter if you're just greeting. Greet with a smile. Some of y'all have a genuine smile. Greet, shake your hand, be the best greeter that there ever is. I remember there's a time when Kristen kind of had that Mary syndrome, you know, when Jesus was at the wedding and they ran out of wine. And then Mary says, go and help them. Why are you troubling me? I'm just chilling. And I'm here, I'm going to church. I'm just chilling. They got their whole worship team up here. I think you were, Brandon was singing. Y'all know Brandon used to sing up here? Some of y'all didn't know that. And then she mentions to Marietta, Tim knows how to play drums. I'm just trying to mind my own business. Next thing you know, Marietta had me up here singing and filling in. See, I didn't want to do it at that time. But I'm glad there was that nudging there. You got to serve at your capacity. We started out cleaning toilets. But we did it thankfully. The gifts you're giving, your cooking, your hard work, your voice, is all to help the church. In a time where people are pulling away from the church these days, now is the time to press in rather than back off. Didn't we say the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it? So no matter what comes against the church, no matter what happens in the church, at the end of the day, the gates of hell will still be ineffective. Ephesians 4:16 says, he makes the whole body, this is God, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. God knew what he was doing when he put us together. He made it so that we can do this very life together and go into a team. And it's going to take a team of people to go out and accomplish what he has called us to do. So that's one of the things. You got to encourage one another in that. I get it that people want to compete against each other in life. I get it. I'm a competitor. You probably wouldn't see it, but I am really a competitor. And sometimes I have to pull myself back because I can get crazy with it. But the person that you're actually competing against is yourself. Am I a better man or a woman today than I am a year ago? Than last week? What is God doing in this season in my life and where he's helping me to grow? Because ultimately, all of us has to grow spiritually. So the person you're competing against is just being disciplined in what you're called to do. We become more disciplined in our giving. We become more disciplined in serving. We become more disciplined or just more intentional at just encouraging other people and saying hi and God bless you. Thank you for serving. Every once in a while when I think, thank you for serving. I make sure that I try to tell everyone that thank you for serving. We become intentional with it. Being disciplined in certain areas of your life will always generate growth, whether it's spiritual, mental, emotional, or financial. Are you the same person that you were 2 months ago? Because if we are truly honest with ourselves, God will always be working something in our lives season after season. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says this, so be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk, but let us live in the light. Be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. So if you've been doing this, carry on. And if you haven't been doing this, now's the time to start. You don't have to beat yourself up. Oh, I missed all these years. No. Just start today. Encourage one another. You know, because the laws of reciprocity is, if you sow it, you will also reap it. So when you encourage one another, if I encourage Dustin, Dustin has some gifts on the inside of him. And if I can continue to encourage him, to build him up, that gift is not just for him and his family, it's for somebody else in here too. So he doesn't ever stop doing what God has called him to do. It's kind of like a teammate. When you build each other up, there are laws of reciprocity. You then will be built up, and it will also help you to minister and use those gifts to better serve the body of Christ. So yeah, you don't get to quit the church. You can, but it's not going to be good for you. Last year's message, you don't get to quit. Yeah, you can, but it ain't going to be good for you. It's not the best decision that you can make to quit, to give up. I don't quit. Wanted to. Just can't quit. He's a good God. So let's get to the place where a community of believers are gathered and get plugged in. They need what God has given you, and you need what God has given them. Sometimes people just need a funny joke every once in a while, a clean, funny joke. Why? Because laughter doeth good like a... Come on now. Taking medicine. Get your medication going. It's good to laugh. I'm the funniest one in the family. Mary, 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 Mary. It doeth good like a medicine. The word of God is for your spirit, for your soul, and for your body. God intended it that way. So whatever you need is in his word. And you get to that place where you believe it. You believe it. Faith does not deny that the problem exists. I knew I needed lungs. I needed new lungs. They said my lungs were like charcoal. Had somebody pray. I dropped, what, 50 liters that night when Dave prayed? Liters of oxygen? Yeah, dropped. And now, whenever I go upstairs, I'm not at the top of the stairs doing this anymore. Now when I lay on my side, I'm not looking up like this, like, what is going on? Why? It's in his word. What was that thing called, Vicky? What did he say? What was that? What he said. But I believe that there are natural things as well, too. You know why? Because he's the God of wisdom. He knows everything. He knows what we need. So it doesn't mean, hey, well, just I don't receive that healing the way he did. I can't have this. I said, no, there's other ways. That's just the way that Jesus had done it through his word. But there are natural things. Some people, I remember there was a story about a preacher that was, got dizzy while he was preaching, collapsed up against the wall. And he said, Lord, what is going on? Is there an attack? He goes, no, you're not putting enough salt on your food. Put some salt. Simple solution. Put some salt on your food. Put some salt in your cooking. Season. That's why. She goes, yep, and that's why we live longer too. See, that was a black and white thing. I said, black people season their food. God bless you. So everybody at the table is just putting salt. It's still good. Shouldn't complain if I'm getting fed. And as you can see, I'm not deprived. God bless you. Did that help you out today? Be the church. And being the church is not just once a week. It's every single day. And you may miss it at times. I may have missed it at times. I said, but you know what? God's grace. Be the church. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone here? Faith is still here. It's hard to leave, ain't it? Praise God. Well, Father God, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you that these are the called out ones that you have sent out, Lord. And as they go out and minister to people and share the gospel and pray for those, your power, your anointing will flow through them. That there are people that get results, Lord. And even if they don't, Lord, they know that they can still put their trust in you. Lord, all your promises are yes and amen for those who are in Christ. So help us to stay more focused on what you want for us rather than what we want. And help us not to mix those promises with our own desires. Help us to stay humble and exalt you in our lives and our everyday lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.